Do you think like self-serve ad networks, kind of like AdBright, and I'm sure there's some others, are worth testing as your next level?
You know, I'm not a big fan of AdBright. I used to be many years ago, but I haven't had a great result of them, you know, in recent years. But again, it depends on what, you know, every network has its sort of its specialties and niches, and depending on what kind of product you have or you're promoting, any network could work for you. Each one is different. So,
are there any self-serve ones that are kind of good stepping stones to jump into, maybe some banner traffic or linking or links that would make sense?
Well, you know, it's one thing that a lot of people, I'm still amazed that people don't take advantage of is, you know, is just even Google's content and display network. From a banner perspective, there's huge volume there, and a lot of people, you know, are just, I don't know how to get banners made, or I mean, I don't understand display, you know, but there's, you know, at the simplest level for a beginner, you know, that's a great way to start with display media and to test different ads, and then when you're ready to take it to, you know, to display networks or to directly to sites that want banners, you can, you know, have already tested which ones were performed best, and
that's a good one. What have you found on banners that make sense or that you've been surprising to you that always works? I mean, things like,
you know, what's been surprising to me is actually that homemade banners often work as well as slick, beautifully created, you know, banners by designers. So, I mean, I have a professional designer that creates banners for me, but I also make my own. And
yeah,
in many cases, it's the, you know, putting a handwriting font with your, you know, with your own, you know, just a plain background. And, you know, it's I guess what I'd say is that the message is the most important thing, not the how, you know, slick it looks. And if you have, and one of the simplest ways to translate from, if you've already been doing pay-per-click and you know what sort of messaging works, you know, in your text ads, is simply to make banners of your text ads. Take the exact copy that's in your text ad and make it into a banner, and you don't need any graphics or images or anything. It's the message that matters most, you know. And then if you want to play around later on with adding images and you know, and flash
right,
more dynamic kind of stuff, you know, you can do that. But, you know, at the simplest level, you can literally make it in Photoshop and and make a static ad with the same messaging you have in your text ads, and maybe put it in a handwriting font or just something very clear and big. Because the cool thing about banners is they give you more real estate, so you can take a little tiny text ad message and make it bigger. You know, and if you know that a certain question or a certain headline is your best, you know, gets people to click, it's going to work the same way in banners. So,
and then even putting things like click here, does that still work?
Oh, definitely want to have a call to action. That's a big mistake a lot of people don't do is, you know, for me, it's typically the bottom right corner, and it's a click here, or watch now, or whatever it is that you're trying to get them to do, you know, and that sometimes make that, you know, if you've got a designer who can help you with this, you can make that, you know, flash or, you know, animate that some way, you know, have little arrows pointing or whatever it is. You know, anything you can do to get the click through up is gonna help your cause.
Excellent. Okay, so that's one spot that we can look at. Is certainly the Google Content Network. That makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, you were talking about testing out different traffic sources per month. What else should people kind of look at or should get on their radar?
So, I mean, like I said, there's many different traffic sources. So I wouldn't try all, you know, to go to 10 different traffic sources in a given month. I would do one by one. It doesn't have to be in a month. It could be one a week, one a month, one every 3 months, depending on your budget and your business. But ultimately, you want to constantly be testing new sources. And it takes a little bit of money to do the testing. And very often, like I said, what I tend to do is more of a shotgun approach. So someone who is really frugal and doesn't have a lot of money to burn and really wants to be profitable from day one, you know, might do things differently and start, you know, spend very small and cap their daily spends to, you know, small amounts and grow very slowly. I tend to have clients who want to grow, you know, grow faster, and so, you know, within reason. But, you know, the more testing you're doing and the more things you're trying to figure out, the more money you need to spend for the test to be statistically significant. So, and then also, like I said, to cut out the fat. So, you know, if you say, okay, I'll spend $500 a day for a week or a month, whatever the timeline is, you know, day one, you're not going to have enough data if you're testing a lot of different traffic sources or a lot of different sites within the site, you know, the campaign that you're running. you know, you're going to need to spend a few $1,000 just to figure out, okay, wow, now I've got enough data on all, you know, on the 40 sites I'm targeting on this campaign. You know, wow, 25 of them are just, you know, not working, but wow, I found 5 that are just killing it. You know, I'm now going to focus on those. Maybe I'll raise the bids. Maybe I'll, you know, and then boom, you turned off the 25 that aren't working. You've got the ones that are working, and you scale them, and they're profitable, and it's great. So now you've got a new channel that works, and you recoup the losses from the first week or two. By the end of the month, then boom, month number 2, you're in the black, and you're rolling, and you just drop that winner into your portfolio, and now you do it again. You rinse and repeat, and every month you keep doing that. And so I think that's one of the biggest mistakes a lot of people make, is that they get scared off by, you know, a loss, losing a little money up front, and they just quit and say, you know, they give up. And the people who succeed and, you know, are the ones who stick with it, keep testing. It's all about testing, and make it work. I mean, I've had campaigns where it took $25,000 to get it to work. You know, and if they quit after 10 or after 15 or after 20 and said, oh, it's not working, you know, they would have walked away. But next thing you know, we're spending $150,000 a month on the campaign, because once we got it working, it was a great traffic source. It just took some time and some money and some tweaking to get it to work. Not the average person can't do that, but that's what, you know, that's sort of the part of the secret sauce is really the testing and sticking with it. And sometimes traffic sources won't work. Sometimes you just can't, you know, the prices are too high or the quality is too low. But in many cases, if you do enough testing and stick with it, and you know it's a big traffic source, you can, you know, it's worth it because the potential is there to really scale big once you get it working.
How do you, you know, it brings up a good point. So how do you know, you know, when's it time to cut that traffic source, or when's it time to keep, you know, putting in an investment?
Well, you know, so it depends on a client's understanding of their business. So, for example, the client that I was able to scale that I was describing just a second ago,
right,
they really understood their metrics. They, you know, they could see that, you know, maybe on, you know, week one they were only making back 50% of what they were spending. Week two they were making back, you know, 70%. Week three, you know, 85%. You know, and it was like we kept getting closer to break even, you know, where they wanted to be. And so we saw the improvement, and even though it was at a loss, they saw that, you know, if we could just get to a certain point, it's going to be a win.
Right.
I've had other people who are where, you know, we went down that road, and just from day one, the numbers were so far off that they said, even if we double or triple the conversions, we're still not going to be where we need to be. You know, and they, in that scenario, you know, they just said, you know, we're going to give up because we're going to cut it off because we just can't even foresee it getting close to being a win. So I think that's where you got to look at the metrics and say, you know, will an incremental increase, you know, improvement get us to where we need to go, or is it going to be a monumental, you know, gap and that we just can't overcome? And so that's kind of how you determine. But if you see the potential, as you know, doing a lot of testing on the copy and on the pricing and on the landing pages can have, you know, significant increases in conversion. And if you're confident in your skills, you can get there.
So really, I mean, there's probably a couple factors, right? So it's not even just the ad buys that you can make, but then it really looks at a holistic point of, can we add an upsell or some sort of increase the transaction value? Can we, you know, what else is on the back end that we can add within 15 days or 30 days or whatever that then makes
absolutely
a lifetime value increase?
And it's, which is interesting, because, you know, but, you know, I've got a reputation. People say, oh, you know, they've heard about me and what I can, you know, the traffic that I generate or what I can do. But truthfully, I'm not a magician, and there's only so much. And you know, I can negotiate great deals. I can find great, you know, I can do great targeting. I can find, you know, find you good traffic. But if your offer isn't, you know, is not strong or doesn't convert well, and you're not willing to test or change things, you know, in many cases, I'm not going to be able to make it work for you because I'm not a magician. You know, like, I could do the
right.
You know, I could send you great traffic, but if you're not willing to, if it doesn't work, and you're not willing to tweak your offer, which it's amazing, a lot of people don't. They just sort of say, I have one offer, and this is it. You know, and they don't, you know, they don't have the ability or the resources to do the testing. It makes a huge difference. Another thing that's very interesting is a lot of the clients that I spend big money for, and this has always been the case, and I see with a lot of clients that are, you know, spend millions of dollars a month on media, their business model is set up in such a way that they don't make money. they do not break even on day one from the advertising. Advertising is primarily, you know, for lead generation, and they understand their metrics and their back end and their funnel well enough to know that, hey, if I spend $1,000 and I only make back $700, I know I'm going to make $1,500 by day 30, and you know, $2,000 by day 90, and you know, so I'm willing to take a small loss on the front end, you know, to generate leads and make money on the back end. And so, you know, they're the ones who can scale big because they know their metrics, whereas other people who don't know their metrics go in and go, I spent $1,000, I only made $700, I lost money, it didn't work. And they walk away not realizing that they're actually, you know, probably making more money than they think they are. They just don't understand their back end.
And then what do you recommend for tracking that all the way through?
You know, it's really interesting. There isn't one tool that's best. Everybody I work with uses different tools, and different. Some of them are custom built. Some of them are affiliate tracking software. Some of them are their shopping carts. It's various analytic programs on top of that. You know, Google Analytics is very good. If you know how to use it, there's a billion other analytics tools. And so I can't really recommend one. You know what you need something, however that works for your business. And a lot of people already have things in place, so they have to find something that works with whatever they're using, you know, for their shopping cart or their system, and it varies from very manually created kind of systems to very automated.
Okay, well let's cover one more part that you mentioned about finding the. I forgot the word that you used, but the adjacent traffic source.
Oh, lateral.
Lateral, thank you. How, when we get into that, and that really does seem like the secret sauce, the crazy competitive advantage that we can find out. How do you think about finding lateral traffic sources?
So there's two ways to do it that are pretty simple. One is anybody who's doing Google content network or display traffic, you can easily look in your reporting on Google and see what sites are delivering that traffic and where your conversions are coming from, and very often you'll get clues like, "Wow, I'm this various sites because Google's algorithm decided to place your ads there, put this site into your campaign, and maybe it's not anything to do with your category or something that you would have targeted, but it's converting, and you go, oh wow, well maybe there's some other sites like it. Let me go out there and try to find some more and target that whole niche, and so." At the simplest level, you can do this right with your Google campaigns. There's also tools out there. I don't know if you know Mike Colella. Mm-hmm. He's a friend of mine, and he's got a great competitive intelligence software tool called AdBeat, and it basically pulls data on Google and a bunch of other networks and where people are advertising and what they're what sites they're advertising on and what they're doing, and it's it gives you clues. For your own campaign. So, for example, I was watching Mike once show a guy how his tool worked, and the guy was in the debt market. And so he said, give me your site, give me your competitor's sites, let's see what everybody's doing in this market. Now, obviously, someone in the debt market is going to target debt-related keywords and, et cetera.
Right.
But what he discovered was that one of his competitors was advertising on a bunch of lottery sites. And he said, lottery sites? That's really strange. Why are these people advertising on lottery sites? Well, wait a minute. I guess people who are in debt play the lottery.
Yeah.
Right? And he was like, oh, wow. That's a big light bulb went off. Like, wow, maybe I should go do that too. And I guarantee you that the competition and the cost per click on lottery sites is much less than it is in the debt category. So if you can find the right people and convert them on a cheaper, on cheaper sites like lottery sites, you it's a big win. And so you could build a whole campaign around lottery sites, and then you find another clue just like that, and you build a whole campaign around the next thing, and eventually you just keep building these sort of lateral campaigns that have nothing to do with debt, but are but work, and you can do that and then same thing, and then you might say, well, not just Google, but okay, well maybe I can go do some direct deals with lottery sites, or maybe I find another network that's got a bunch of lottery sites in their network, and you just keep expanding laterally. To reach those kind of sites or that kind of market, because of that initial, proof of concept you got from your Google campaign.
That's awesome. That's really cool. That's called AdBeat.
AdBeat is one of the tools. There's other things like it out there, but I highly recommend it if you're buying lots of media and you need to you want to sort of get some clues before you start your campaigns. It's a brilliant tool. I use it all the time.
Nice. Okay, well let's transition into kind of the other two main parts of our Maverick DNA here, and the second one is have more fun or live your life, not just do your business 24/7. What's your philosophy on that, and how do you practice that, and what do you do, Drew?
Well, 10 years ago, was it 10 years ago? I was had a corporate job and working for a big internet site that I was basically on a plane every week, and I was selling media to big high tech companies like Hewlett Packard and Microsoft and Oracle and that kind of stuff. And I had a good job and I made a good paycheck. I had 2 weeks vacation a year, and I felt like I was owned by that company. And
right.
And when the .com crash happened, everything went south, and the company was, even though we were generating $25 million in revenue, we were losing money, and so the higher ups in London decided to let 52 of 72 people go, and in one day, and I was included in that shaving of the executive team, and I decided at that moment, do I want to go get another corporate job, or do I want to start my own thing? I was just getting ready to start a family, and I said, I don't want to be limited. I don't know where, when and where I can take vacations and how much money I can make and, where I've got to be every day. And I decided it was time to be my own boss and become an entrepreneur. And, 10 years later, I've created that lifestyle for myself. I was influenced by Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about, even if you're an entrepreneur, there's different levels of freedom that you get. If you're a professional, if you're in your own business, but you're a doctor or a lawyer, you still, you are the business, and however many hours you work is how much money you can make, and you're still sort of living. When you go on vacation, the business is closed. And how do I create a business that's, that makes money whether you're working 9 to 5 or not? And a lot of this, advertising stuff you can do any time of day or night. It doesn't have to be, at 8 in the morning. It could be, at 11 o'clock at night. And so now I take, at least 6 weeks vacation a year with my family, travel all over the world. When I take my kids to school a couple days a week, if I need to cut out early, I've got the freedom with my schedule to live any way I like. And that's really, I basically have created that lifestyle of freedom. And that includes, fun, whatever interests that you want to pursue, whatever your hobbies are, whether it's your family or it's, it's hockey or whatever, you've got the freedom to do that. You're not limited by,
And so that was a very conscious choice. And how do you make sure that, because we all have an endless to-do list, and how do you make sure that the business doesn't encroach on what you want as your ideal lifestyle?
I'm not perfect, and I probably could have take advantage of the lifestyle even more. But like many entrepreneurs, I'm a bit of a workaholic, and I tend to balance that by working a lot late at night when the world's asleep, and I get a lot done at night so that I have more freedom during the day. If I want to take my son to hockey practice or go, take my kids to breakfast before school or whatever it is.
Right.
But, I've got the, for me, I'm a very family-oriented guy. A lot of my, free time is oriented around doing stuff with my family. But, and that's also important to me. I don't want to be that dad who comes home from his, I didn't want to be that dad who came home from his job, and had half an hour with his kids before they went to bed and only saw them, half an hour a day.
Right.
I work from home. I see my kids all the time, and I get to enjoy, watching them grow up and be a part of their lives. And that is more important to me almost than anything. So